Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Madaf Yomi. We're now in Masachet Baba Batra Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, and we just encountered a mention of one of Shmuel's halachot of Dina Machut Adina, and in that context we find the following tangent that's going to take us into areas of taxation. Amar Rabba, this is near the top of Amud Aleph. Amar Rabba, Hani Tlat Mili Ishtai Le Ukvan Bar Nechemya Reish Galuta Mishmei De Shmuel. The following three things were related to me by this particular Ukva Bar Nechemya, who was the Reish Galuta, and he was quoting Shmuel in this regard. Dina de Machut Adina, so the law of the land is the law, and that's something that we've discussed more at length in Masachet Gittin, the first parak. Farisuta de Parsoyad Mem Shanin, that the typical sharecropping contract here of the Parthians is 40 years, which means that there's no chazaka till that point. Vahani Zahrure de Zavin Araletaska, if tax collectors sell land that they seized for property tax, zvinu zvine, the sale is valid. We don't need to regard it as illegally gotten land, and therefore not to allow the sale. If they seized, let's say, a particular Jew's land, then we may then buy that land from them and not consider it to be akin to what we saw with the Sicari earlier. Okay, and let's see why that's the case. The limitation is that this only applies to land tax, property tax, of al-char galo, but head tax, the cargo, the head tax, it's on each person. They can't seize the land for that, and if they do, it's considered stolen. We can't buy it. My time, why? Karga akarkav to gavri manach. Because that's something that's on each person's head. In other words, it has nothing to do with their property, and there is no lien on their property, as there is the property tax. That is Shmuel's position. Now, Rav Huna, Beredu of Yeshua Amar, he disagrees and says, Afilu sa'are dechada mishtab lecharga. Even the barley that's in your jar is mishubad to the head tax. In other words, everything you own is, so we say, on lien against your head tax, which means that if land is seized for that by the tax collector, that's valid. Now, Amar Vashia, Marli Huna Barnatan, Kashiba Memar, he told me that a Memar was bothered by this halacha, because he said, Im ken bital to Yerushat b'no b'chor, you've essentially taken the notion of Yerushat ha-b'chor out of circulation. Because the rule of a b'chor is that he only gets the double portion in muchzak, in those things that the father owns free and clear when he dies, not in things that are ra'ui lavo l'charmita. Because if you say that everything a person owns is on lien or security against their payment of their own head tax, then everything is ra'ui because any of that stuff could be seized at any moment by the tax collector, and it's only ra'ui lavo lachar mita after the father dies. So Rav Ashi then reported back, he said, that's not really a question, because if that's the case, then you have the same problem with property tax, is that you could say that everything the man owns is subject to lien for his property tax, and therefore nothing's right with it, nothing's mukhs like there either. Alamayit lachlemer, so how are you going to answer that? The answer is da'iv tasko meet. We're talking about a case where father died right after he paid his property tax, and therefore everything's free and clear. So hachanamidi, I've chargo meet. So you could answer the same thing. He paid his head tax and he died, which means everything you own could be on lien or security against your personal tax also. Nonetheless, it could still be muksak because after you pay it, it's free and clear until the next payment comes due. So Rav Ashi Amarli Huna Barnatan. So Rav Ashi again relates that Huna Barnatan told him the following thing. Sha'altinu l'sifrei d'Rava. I asked all the scribes in Rava's Beis Medrash. V'amarli hichotak Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua. And they said the halacha is like Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, which is that everything is subjugated, and therefore anything that the tax collectors collect, even for personal tax, is a legitimate confiscation, and any sale is valid. Velohi, and then the Gemara says, but it's not the case. Hatam l'kuim milte hudamar. The scribe said that because he had written shtarot that involved the sale of somebody's property who had defaulted on their personal taxes, and they wanted to support that shtar. But really, the halacha is against that. It's only like Shmuel. It's like Shmuel that only property tax carries such a permission. Yamar Vashi pardacht mesayimata. A pardakht is somebody who's a lazabout, somebody who doesn't work at all, and therefore he isn't charged for taxes. Nonetheless, he has to pay the taxes of the community. That's only if the community forgave him. As the community said, listen, you're not working, we'll take care of the tax on our own. He has a personal sort of ethical responsibility to say, I will participate anyways. Avalandiski, but if the tax collectors forgave him, that's providential that he was forgiven the taxes, and therefore he doesn't have to participate. Now, from here to the end of the piece, which will take us to the next Mishnah, we're going to be dealing with Metzer, which is a boundary, and Chatzav, which is a kind of plant. I gave the Latin name on the page, which is a onion plant, which is toxic, by the way, and was planted as these big white flowers, and was planted typically in Eretz Yisrael as a way of creating a boundary. It was planted on the boundary of somebody's land. So a proper boundary, or chatzav, mafsikin b'nichsei ager, they do generate a division in nichsei ager, which means if a ger owns property, and in the middle of the property you have a boundary or this chatzav, then that makes it two separate properties, and you have to take possession of each one independently. Aval le'inyan peya v'tumah, but as far as peya and tumah, we'll see what that is in a minute. Lo, they're still considered contiguous, and that those are not considered divisions. Ki atara, that's the Rav Asi's report of Rabbi Yochanan. Ki atara ravin, but when ravin came to Pumbadita, amar Rabbi Yochanan, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying, afila peya v'tumah, even for peya and tumah, they're considered separate. What's peya and tumah? Peya mahi, so the Mishnah at the beginning of the second parak of peya said, non ve'ilam afsikin la peya. After in the first parak, the Mishnah laid out what things are obligated in peah, of grains and legumes and orchard and trees. So what things constitute a division such that you have to give peah from this section and from that section separately? Hanachals, a ravine, vashlulit, a gathering of water, v'derech harabim, v'derech ha'achid, if you have public road, or even a road, or even a private road, ushvil arabim, or if you have a public path, ushvil ayachid, or a private path, as long as it's traversed both in the winter and the summer, then the point is that if you have chatzav, if you have this flowers or metzer, then it also makes it a separate boundary, according to the second report of Rabbi Yochanan, you have to give peah from each side separately. Tuma mahi, what's this, what is the application of tuma? You have to remember the general rule, which is that safek tuma b'shut rabim as tahor. That we learn this from Sota, we saw this in many, many places, Nazir, we saw in a famous piece, that when you have a safek of whether you touched tuma, and you were in reshut rabim, we say you're tahor. And that's learned from Sota, because Sota all happens in discretion. B'shut Ayachid, it's Tameh. Now, the Mishnah in Taharot says, "Nichnas levik amimotak shamim," if you went into a valley during the rainy season, which means nobody goes there and it's private, because you got to remember, for Tumah, Reshut Rabim is not the same as for Shabbat. It's not about boundaries and size and walls and ownership. It's about discretion. V'tumah b'sadeh plonit. So if you go into an area and in one of those fields that's in that valley, there's some tumah. And you say, I know I walked into that valley, but I don't know if I walked into that field. Rabbi Elazar says you're tahor. Shayar Rabbi Eliezer Omer, because Rabbi Eliezer's position was safek bia tahor. If you don't know if you even came there, so it's tahor. Safek magatuma, but if you were there, you don't know if you touched it, and it's reshut yachid, then tameh. Alright, so therefore, we would say that if you walked into an area and you know that you were in, on one side, and there was this chatzav planted, and the tumah was on the other side, then we'd say you're tahor. Aval Shabbat lo. But, this second report of Rabbi Yochanan is that it is not considered a division for Shabbat. Rav Amar Afilin Yan Shabbat. Rav says even for Shabbat it's considered a division, and we'll see what that application is. Titania. Remember, for Shabbat, when you carry something, for Reshut Ayachid, Reshut Rabim, you're chayiv, only if you carried a significant amount. And a large part of the 7th, 8th, and 9th parakim of Shabbat in the Mishnayot are devoted to defining the minimal amount of shiurim for everything. And take a look at the first siman in the beginning of the Laws of Carrying in the Aruch HaShulchan. He goes at great length about this also. So, tzichot tzigrog, chatzigrog, reshut rabim, hinicha. Now remember, there's another piece, which is that if you do malach on Shabbat b'shogeg, you thought it was Tuesday, or you forgot this action was prohibited, then you're chayav achatat, but that's only if you did a full action. So what if you did a half an action, and then you remember it was Shabbat, then you forgot again, did another half an action, there's no question, you're not chayav. Watch this. You took half a shear out, a half a fig out, and you put it outside Rishut Rabim. And then then you took another half fig and put it out. So Tanakama's position is, if the whole time you forgot it was Shabbat, or you thought carrying is mutter, then you're chayav, but if you remembered in the middle, then you're patur. Rabbi Yossi says, even if there was all one time of forgetfulness, which you be chayav, if you took, let's say, the fig from your house to one Rishut Rabim, half a fig to one Rishut Rabim, and you still thought it was Tuesday, and you took another half fig to another Rishut Rabim, you're patur. All right, so now what defines that? So here we go. V'yama Rabba, v'hushish chiyuv chatat b'nein. Rabba says that's only true if between the two Rishuyot Rabim there's Rishut Yachid, something that itself would generate a chiyuv chatat. I'm a Carmelite low. But if there's a Carmelite, which is an open area, which is not a Rishut Yachid, or a Rishut Rabim, it's a Nisur de Rabbanan, then that doesn't divide it. It's all considered one Rishut Rabim, and you're Chayev. Abayim Arfil Carmelite. Abayim disagrees and says, even if there's a Carmelite in the middle, I'll Pisla low. But if there's just a block of wood dividing him, then not. Rav Amar Filu Pisla. Rav says, even if there's a Pisla. Therefore, Rav in our case says that this onion planting or this boundary is a division. And so therefore, if you took half a shear out to this field, and then half a shear out to that field, and there's the chatzav in the middle, you're not chayav. Vyazda Rava Latame, and Rava is being consistent with his own argument, Amar Rava Rishut Shabbat Krishut Kitindami, that what defines Rishut Rabim for Shabbat is the same thing that defines Rishut Rabim for Gitin, which is really based upon a chatzer and about a proper division, and therefore the chatzav is also a division. Alright, good. Back to our original statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Ein sham lo metzav lo chatzav mai. What happens if you have an area of Nichsei Ager that does not have any of these boundaries or the onions planted? Then how much do you acquire? So Pirush Rabbi Marinos Mishmo, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying, Kol Shani Kreit Al Shmo, anything that's called that field, whatever people call that field, Hechidami, how does it work? Papa, the Karole Begarguta de Planya, they say it's the thing that he waters, meaning he waters from that cistern. Anything he waters from that cistern is called that field, and therefore your Kona, by working some of it, you're corner the whole thing. This, of course, all goes back to Rav that we saw in the previous podcast, who says that if you till a little bit of the land, you get the whole land. So he quoted Rav Asi Bar Chanina to Rav Asi. And he said, Chatsuva mafsik benichsei ager. So he quoted basically what we heard from Rabbi Yochanan, that Rav Asi quoted originally, that chatzav, this onion plant, is a division for Nichsei Ager, and you have to acquire each field separately if it has this thing in between. So my chatzuva, he asked, what is this chatzuva? I'm reviewed on Rav, Shabot Tichem Yeshua Yisrael Ta'aretz. He wasn't asking what it is, they knew what it was, he was asking why is it important. He says, because that was what Yehoshua Binun used to plant, to divide the areas between the tribes in Eretz Yisrael. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and now we have another tradition from Rav about this, about Yoshua. Lo mana Yoshua la'yarot ha'mudot ha'gvulin. When you look through Yoshua, Perek Tevav, through Yotet, you see long lists, especially in Tevav, long list of cities belonging to each Shevet. So Rav says, those are only cities that were on the borders, and if we had to define, where does Menashe's territory end, where does Ephraim's territory begin, etc. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Amar Shmuel, so now we have a statement in Shmuel's name about this. And these are the psukim I put on the page at the beginning of the last chapter of Dvarim. Hashem takes Moshe up to the mountain and shows him the land. All that land is chayav v'maser, but only that land is chayav v'maser. Lafuke, my, what are you excluding? Lafuke, keni, knizi, v'kanmoni. The land of the keni, knizi, v'kanmoni that eventually, as per Bereshit Tetvav, is going to be given to Bnei Avraham. Tanya Meir Omer Naftucha Arva v'Salma, which evidently are areas in between Yam HaMelach and Eilat in the Arava. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Har Seir Amon Moav, which is just west south Jordan and just the east bank, but the east bank that's not part of Sihon and Og's territory. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ardiskis, Asya, Vaspamia. Aspamia here is not how we saw it earlier, being Spain, but these are evidently cities up in Syria, which, again, are not Chayav and Maser. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We've gotten to Mishnah Hay. We'll pick it up and do Mishnah Hay, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.